Mortal sins are actual sins that destroy sanctifying grace and cause the supernatural death of the soul. For a sin to be mortal, three conditions must be met. Grave matter, enumerated by the Ten Commandments and provided by our Lord. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother, and so forth. Abortion, mercy killing, sodomy, fornication are all the examples of mortal sins. There is also a gradation of gravity of mortal sins. The gravity of murder, for instance, is graver than theft. The other two conditions consist of full knowledge and complete consent. The terms mortal, grave, deadly, and serious apply to sin are same names, each with a slightly different implication. Mortal and deadly focus on the effects in the sinner as deprivation of the state of friendship with God, whereas grave and serious pertain to the importance of the matter in which the sinner offends God. Since the ultimate end of a person is God and his beatitude, and God created human beings for himself, making them in his own image and likeness, capable of loving, knowing, and serving God, and thus being like to God in love, knowledge, likeness, and service of God, lies the bliss of each created person. Faithful conformity to God's will is human perfection, and the ultimate intimate union with God is eternal beatitude. But total deviation of parting from God, from his likeness through unrepentant grave sin, is eternal death. St. John is contrasting sin unto death with sin not unto death, meaning mortal sin and venial sin, respectively. One mortal sin produces the following effects. One single mortal sin strikes the soul dead at once, for it drives out from the soul the Holy Spirit, sanctifying grace and charity. But the theological virtues of hope and faith still remain. The divine grace is the life of the soul, and one mortal sin, by driving out the grace of God, it separates the soul from God, who is truth, love, purity, justice, holiness, and so forth, depriving the soul of potential attainment of such saving qualities or attributes. All human beings depend on God in two fundamental ways, needing God's aid for their existence. If God were not thinking of us, were absent at this particular moment, we would all die. Human beings also need divine graces for reaching perfection or sanctity of life. By sinning mortally, however, sinners lose the sanctifying grace and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are always inseparably united to his presence. Since the union with God is severed, with sanctifying grace, the charity leaves as well. The second effect of one mortal sin is annihilation of all the merits of a long life, unless afterwards repented of. That is, through one mortal sin, the entire record of good deeds is cancelled from the book of God's remembrance. All deeds of charity, generosity, and so forth are totally destroyed, as if they were never carried out. The prophet Ezekiel's warning is unambiguous. Quotation: when the just man shall turn away from justice he has done, and shall commit iniquity, in the iniquity he has done, in the sin he has committed, in that he shall die, and his justice shall be no more remembered. Ezekiel 3:20. The third effect of mortal sin is that it destroys and kills the saving power of serving God. Since the soul is entirely separated from God, all the actions of a person in a state of mortal sin are dead, having absolutely no merit or saving power to gain a footing before God for his or her salvation. Separation from God means utter elimination or removal of saving power. And being entirely separated from God, the soul is without the gift of charity, without the Holy Spirit and his gifts, and thus a sinner cannot bear any fruit unto salvation, is dead before God. And thus all the acts, practices, and operations of the soul are dead. And without charity, St. Paul reaffirms, I am nothing. Even if a person is martyred, but since through sinning mortally does not possess the love of God, gains nothing to salvation. Fourthly, one mortal sin debilitates not only the supernatural virtues that remain within the soul of faith and hope, but also weakens natural capacities and faculties of the soul to act effectively. The soul is losing vitality and the ability to resist attacks of the evil one. The theological virtue of hope is growing feeble, being aware that through sinning gravely against God is unable to delude itself with the hope of being saved, for the soul of sinning mortally lost the reasons for hope. And, quotation, without holiness no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. The remaining virtue of faith provides admonition and final warning, paining the conscience, reminding the transgressor of the unavoidable judgment from the just judge. When a person is in a state of mortal sin, the natural capacities of the soul are significantly influenced, rendering the soul enfeebled and the heart perverse and depraved, consequently making the will also weakened, even incapacitated and benumbed in its power to become penitent. And lastly, one mortal sin brings the soul into the state of twofold death, of culpability and pain. The death of guilt, the unrepentant sinner will answer the day of judgment, and the death of pain will suffer either on earth or after death in hell for all eternity. Depending on the moral state of the soul will endure purgatory or punishment. Every committed sin, therefore, possesses corresponding measure of suffering or pain, justified pain that must be sooner or later expiated or atoned for. Whenever a person gravely offends God through a mortal sin and does not have remorse, refusing to repent, it commits self-murder, willfully breaking completely the link with God, and thus condemns himself or herself to hell. St. Catherine of Genoa revealed, quotation, if men understood how terrible is even one solitary sin, they would rather be cast into a heated furnace and there remain living both soul and body than to support such a sight. End of quotation. Those who die in mortal sin deserve infinite pain for an infinite duration. Hell, thus, is a state and place of eternal punishment for human beings who die in voluntary estrangement from the love of God and for the fallen angels. The double punishment in hell involves the pain of loss, consisting in the total privation of the vision of God, and the pain of sense, consisting in the suffering caused by outside agents. As declared by Christ himself in Matthew 25:46, the punishment in hell is eternal. The soul in hell, having been found at the moment of death with the will to sin, have the guilt and the punishment for all eternity. Hell, or eternal death, is an essential logical state of voluntary grave sinfulness of a person and of goodness and perfection of God. That is, the existence of hell is consistent with divine justice, since God granted the gift of freedom and respects human liberty to choose good or evil. It is the final victory of perfect justice. Since God established the unchanging moral principles, he cannot be indifferent to the practices of either obeying or revolting against his perfect law. Those who chose evil and die in the will to sin are lost, condemning themselves by their rebellion and resistance to the grace and love of God. God has a salvific will, which refers to God's desire for every single person to be saved. And conversion is fundamental to the teachings of Christ, meaning change of mind from the unbelief to faith, and a change of heart and mind from sin to practice of virtue, out of love for Christ, pursuit of holiness, or Christian perfection. Again, it needs to be emphasized that the person's eternal destiny or moral worth is contingent upon the moment of death. Dying in a mortal sin while remaining unrepentant purchases eternal damnation. That is, the soul will be judged at the moral state at the moment of death, which does not depend on the past moral standing. It is not judged according to the comprehensive balance of good and evil in one's life. Hence, moral duties are mandatory at every moment of one's life. Every moment must be absolutely dedicated to reveal and worship the Absolute, constantly atoning for sinfulness and living an earnest preparation awaiting the vision of God. As St. Paul warns us, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, and wake up, sleeper, and rise from death, and Christ will shine on you. Thank you.